On today's show, the Houston Rockets, down by as many as 18, managed to claw their way back into this game against the New Orleans Pelicans and actually take the lead going into the fourth quarter, sparked by a huge third quarter run by Jalen Green on his way to his 33 points in this game. Unfortunately, they let go of the rope in the fourth quarter, were not able to close things out successfully. Jalen Green, after a huge three quarters, only getting three shot attempts in the fourth and final frame. We did see Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. staggered in this game. We'll talk about that, how the lineups looked. We'll also take a look at Alperen Şengün and his struggles with the New Orleans Pelicans front court, all of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as Rockets Watch. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, where you can help the show out tremendously by commenting anything below. Tell me what you were most frustrated about in this loss against the New Orleans Pelicans, because, man, this game was right there for the taking. This is not a great defensive Pelicans team, and they've been inconsistent on the offensive end as well so far this season. So when the Rockets went down big against the Pelicans, I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, second real blowout of the season. But they clawed their way back in, in large part due to Jalen Green and his fantastic performance in this game. 33 points, 11 of 20 shooting, 5 of 10 from three-point land, had 2 rebounds, 6 assists, did have 5 turnovers, but those turnovers are not all bad. You want to see him cut down on them, but I will explain as to why he had a chunk of those turnovers. Really fantastic game from Jalen Green. We saw Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. being staggered in this game, and I think that led to a lot of positive things for Jalen Green especially, and I think it helped Kevin Porter Jr. out a little bit as well. We'll talk about the staggering. We'll talk about Alperen Şengün struggling with the front court of the New Orleans Pelicans, getting into substantial foul trouble. Jabari Smith Jr. also getting into foul trouble at points in this game, but he had a really strong defensive game, really monstrous night on the boards, had 15 rebounds, 6 of them were offensive, and even though he went 0 for 2 from three-point land in this game, he was 4 of 8 inside the three-point line, which is an encouraging sign, encouraging development, including, you know, finishing some offensive rebounds right in and around the glass. Had a couple huge blocks on Jonas Valanciunas. So Jabari Smith Jr. making his presence felt on the interior for this Rockets team in this game. Where I want to start is the staggering, because this was such a welcome development, something that Rockets fans have been clamoring for a long time, something that I've wanted to see Steven Silas do with Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green for a while, and it finally looked like, you know, he caved and did it. Now, this comes off the heels of Steven Silas explaining at the most recent Rockets practice in Houston Friday afternoon that when evaluating sample sizes and deciding, you know, what lineups work and what things don't work and how guys are performing, he tries to stick to 10 games. 10 games is kind of his number to evaluate and understand how things are looking. And so for the Rockets now, you know, having just played their 13th game of the season, for them, for Silas to kind of be on the heels of that comment and revisiting the idea of staggering versus not staggering Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, hopefully it shows that something has, you know, been pointed out to him, or that he's seen something on film or on tape or poring over his notes, that he wants to see those two guys play minutes apart from each other, because I think it ultimately works. And I think it really worked in this game specifically. KPJ would hit the bench earlier in the first and in the third quarters, respectively, and Jalen Green continued to run the show in those quarters. And it looked a little rough around the edges, at least as far as the facilitating is concerned in the first quarter. That's where Jalen had 3 of his 5 turnovers, was in that first quarter. And a large part of it was he was making solid reads. He was trying to orchestrate the offense and actually playmake for his teammates, which he still finished with 6 assists. He still had a solid playmaking night. But he was trying to maybe thread the needle a little bit too hard on some of his passes, or trying to make something that was, in theory, a good read, but just, was either a fraction of a second too late, or just the defenders had their hands, in the passing lane, whatever. All in all, I was incredibly encouraged by the attempted playmaking that we saw out of Jalen Green when he was the only of the two, Rockets dynamic guards on the floor in the minutes without Kevin Porter Jr. And here's the big kicker is, in 9 minutes and 15 seconds of run in this game, without Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green was a plus 11. He had 21 points, shot 7 of 10 from the floor, 5 of 7 from three-point range, and was 2 of 2 at the free throw line. Again, in 9 minutes and 15 seconds, he had 21 of his 33 points. That means elsewhere in this game, because he played just over 38 minutes. So that means in just under 30 minutes of play elsewhere in the game, he only scored 12 points. Only scored 12 points on 4 of 10 shooting. I am firmly in the camp that Jalen Green looks better, plays better, is more comfortable, is more aggressive on the floor when Kevin Porter Jr. is not out there. And I think that right now, I don't want to say that it is a mistake to continue the experiment with KPJ at the point guard position, or that it's not the right move. I think the Rockets are kind of strapped into that for a while, but I desperately want to see this trend continue where Jalen gets anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes a night away from Kevin Porter Jr. to work on and to develop his ability to run a team, his ability to playmake, his ability to be aggressive without KPJ in the backcourt as well. Because here's the thing, Kevin Porter Jr. had a solid game in his own right. Not fantastic, but very solid. 23 points, 9 of 16 shooting, 3 of 9 from three-point range. Was 2 of 4 at the charity stripe. He only had 1 rebound and 3 assists. He had 7 turnovers, though. And a chunk of those came in the fourth quarter when the Rockets were trying their best to, maintain control of this game. KPJ had 4 of his 7 turnovers in the fourth quarter. So that's where some of the frustration comes from when you're looking at this game and the dynamic of the Rockets' backcourt is Jalen Green, who was on fire this game, only got 3 shots in the fourth quarter. And it was more or less kind of the Kevin Porter Jr. show, for better or for worse, down the stretch of things. KPJ took 5 shots in the fourth quarter. He missed all 3 of his 3-pointers. He did have 2 shots at the cup that went in. So you like that from KPJ. You like the aggressiveness, but there has to be a moment where you realize, hey, Jalen has it going. Jalen is on fire. He's got 29 points through 3 quarters. I have to feed the hot hand. So I was a little bummed out with how things ended there in the fourth quarter, especially given how exciting the comeback was in that third quarter by the Rockets. I want to talk about that comeback and the impact of the Rockets bench players, KJ Martin, Tari Eason, Usman Garuba, the Goon Squad, if you will, what that lineup looked like on the floor with Jalen Green, how they were able to fight their way back into this game. We're going to talk about that after a quick message from our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis this season. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. They've got you covered for everything over at BetOnline. Right now, you can take a look at who the odds on favorites are to win the NBA title this season. The Boston Celtics leading the way at plus 550, but right there, neck and neck with the Celtics. Milwaukee Bucks also at plus 550. Golden State Warriors at plus 700, and then you've got the LA Clippers and the Phoenix Suns in spots 4 and 5, rounding things out at plus 800 and plus 1,000, respectively. So for all of those odds and more, be sure to visit betonline.net to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, man, the The Rockets really faked me out in this one because I was kind of resigned, you know, after how bad the first half kind of looked, and the fact that the Rockets were down by as many as 18, and the turnovers were brutal in this game. Rockets had 26 turnovers to the tune of, I want to double check, I believe it was 32 Pelicans points. 26 turnovers, yeah, 26 TOs for 32 Pelicans points. That's just unacceptable. Like, there is no reason for this Rockets team to have that many turnovers. And some of them were, you know, there were some offensive fouls being called on Alp and Garuba, and there were, you know, bad passes. I mean, the issue is that so many of these turnovers were self-inflicted by the Rockets. They weren't caused by the Pelicans. Like, they, you know, there were a few here and there. Jose Alvarado was an absolute pest. We'll talk about he and KPJ's little confrontation to end the game in segment three. But as far as that third quarter run goes, that run was so encouraging because it was spearheaded by Jalen Green. And it feels like there's almost like this switch that just gets flipped when Kevin Porter Jr. hits the bench and Jalen is still in the game. And again, we saw this for just under 10 minutes in this game the other day. Jalen just becomes hyper aggressive, and he basically put the Rockets on his back the moment KPJ was out of the game. KPJ checked out, and it was 81-69. Rockets were down 12 with 4.5 to go in the third quarter. And Kevin Porter Jr. checks out. Dacian Nix comes back in for him. And Jalen Green's at the free throw stripe, so he makes these 2 points at the free throw line. So KPJ was technically on the court for one of those points, but I'm not counting that. So those are the first 2 points by Jalen. It is now 80. Or I apologize. He made the first point. Yeah, so 81-69. That included the first point at the free throw line. So Jalen makes the second free throw. It's 81-70. And those were the first 2 points by Jalen. Jalen then goes on a scoring tear and scores the next 13 points for the Rockets. He drills a pull-up two-pointer, making it 83-72, and that was off the heels of a Larry Nance Jr. dunk to put the, you know, Pels up another couple points. And then it's this moment, like after that little back and forth, where Jalen Green just catches fire. He drills a three, he comes back down, drills another three, comes back down, drills another three a few possessions later, and suddenly the Rockets are knocking on the door of the Pelicans. They've had them scoreless for almost two straight minutes. Tari Eason gets to the free throw line, hits a couple free throws. KJ Martin comes flying in for a huge dunk to give the Rockets the lead, and then KJ Martin gets another dunk on the very next possession with just under or right about 30 seconds left in the quarter. I mean, that push to end the third quarter by the bench unit, the energy that they provided, again, the goon squad, KJ, Tari, and Uzi, and then even Dacian Nix played his role in those minutes, right? He set up Jalen Green for one of his threes. Like, even Dacian Nix was important in that lineup for making things happen. I definitely thought in the moment, at the top of the fourth quarter, seeing Jalen Green on the bench, I thought was the wrong move. I just, like, he was on fire. He scored a straight 13 points to propel the Rockets back into this game at the end of the third quarter after KPJ hit the bench. I don't know why you wouldn't want to just leave him on the floor for like another minute or two. Like, I understand the idea in theory of, yeah, you want to close out with him, right? You want him fresh for the final whatever stretch of the game. But let him have another minute or two, right? At the top of the quarter, he gets a breather in between quarters, right? And you're still going to rest him, but the Rockets, you know, Silas wound up bringing him back in with like 8.5 left to play in the game. You could have just brought him back with like 6.5 to play, right? And he's still going to get the same amount of rest, but I feel like letting him try to ride the hot hand and letting Jalen Green continue to work and build that lead and stick with the momentum that the Rockets had at the end of the third quarter, not subbing out any guys in the lineup, just sticking with that core five that dug you out of that hole and got you back into the game, that would have been the move. And it's not like, again, like Mike D'Antoni's old, you know, the one ace up Mike D'Antoni's sleeve back in the day was if the Rockets were trailing going into the fourth quarter, sometimes he would start James Harden at the top of the fourth. And he'd play James Harden for like another 3-4 minutes at the top of the fourth quarter rather than Harden getting his usual like rest at the top of the fourth where he would check back in with, you know, 7-8 minutes to go, give or take. And sometimes that worked. But the way that that worked is it was like, okay, if the Rockets are not either back in this game or winning this game by about the three, you know, by about 3 or 4 minutes into the fourth quarter, James Harden is going to be gassed playing the second half with no rest, and the Rockets will lose. That wasn't the case here with Jaylen. You could have easily, again, let him play another couple minutes, whatever, and still gotten time to rest him while KPJ comes back in and runs the show. So I don't know. I think that was kind of a tactical mistake on Steven Silas's part. I thought the Rockets could have won this game. But even when Jaylen Green did check back in, they did not take advantage of the fact that he was hot, or they may have inadvertently iced him, right, by sitting him on the bench and he comes back in and he was still 2 of 3 in the quarter. He still hit 2 of his 3 shots and there's no reason that he shouldn't have gotten more looks the moment he checked back into the game. He got one look right when he checked back into the game and then he went 5+ minutes with no shot attempts until the final like stretch of run. So that needs to be better. And it's moments like that where you have to look at Kevin Porter Jr. as the point guard and you're thinking, what's going on here? Like, I understand KPJ is capable of getting buckets on his own, but his recognition needs to be better when somebody else on the team has it going, especially when that somebody is Jaylen Green and he should be the guy taking the majority of the shots, leading the team, all of that. I think there's maybe some kind of a dynamic there where like Jaylen doesn't want to like step on KPJ's toes, or KPJ is, you know, he's the one, you know, running the show. So Jaylen's just like, all right, you do your thing. Like, I don't know what that dynamic is, but it needs to change because Jaylen Green should be the guy taking the shots down the stretch, not Kevin Porter Jr. KPJ can take them if he's open. And if the offense dictates it or if the defense dictates it and Jaylen swings the ball, whatever, and KPJ gets it, cool. But Jaylen should be the guy down the stretch. And that shouldn't be a hot take. That shouldn't be a controversial opinion. Jaylen should be the one taking the shots down the stretch, especially in a game where he was that dominant in such a brief amount of time. With that, I do want to talk about the other guys elsewhere on this roster who impacted this game. Talked about the Goon Squad already in this segment, but I want to talk about Jabari Smith Jr., who had a strong defensive impact in this game, as well as Alperen Şengün, who struggled in this game against the Pelicans front court. We're going to talk about those guys in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, let's start with, what do we want to do? Like, spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down? Do we want to start with the good with Jabari or start with the bad with Alpi? I'll start with Alpi. Just because it's kind of quick hitter here. Alpi just looked a bit outclassed in this game defensively. And some of the fouls that he, you know, was being whistled for were, you know, like the offensive foul early in the game was kind of like, eh, but he played the entire game in foul trouble. And when you're playing in foul trouble, you can't play as physical. You can't play as aggressive. And against the front court of the mountain that is Jonas Valanciunas, who didn't have a fantastic game at all. Realistically, the Pels wound up leaning a bit more heavily on Larry Nance Jr. off the bench. But even still, you know, the combined power of their front court from Valanciunas to Zion to Larry Nance Jr., the Rockets struggled with it, or Alpi, I should say, struggled with it. Alpi finished the game just 6 points, 3 rebounds, had 1 assist, had 1 steal, had a turnover, and was 3 of 6 from the floor in 19 minutes. So a big part of that is him understanding, right, how valuable he is on the floor and not making bad decisions with his fouls. Now, I will say that one of the offensive fouls that he got called for early in the game, I do think a big part of that, and that's something that the guards need to learn, both Jaylen and KPJ, is letting the big get set before using the screen. Because they have a tendency to do that with Alpi and Garuba, is taking off before the screen, before the big is like fully set with the screen. And that forces the big to be in motion when they're setting the screen. And then, you know it, ref's going to blow the whistle, and it's going to turn into a it's going to turn into a foul call for the big. So, or, you know, offensive foul, team turnover, whatever, all that. So I need the guards to be a little bit better about that. But that said, you know, the majority of Alpi's fouls were on him. It was poor decision-making, reaching, slapping at the ball, contesting without staying vertical, stuff like that. Just a bad game from Alpi. Struggled in fouls, you know, struggled with fouls all game. Hopefully he bounces back next night. The fact that the Rockets were able to fight their way back into this game based on Jalen Green's offensive explosion and even Kevin Porter Jr.'s really strong night, despite the turnovers that he had, is a positive sign. But again, it's not super consistent at this point. So elsewhere in the Rockets front court, Jabari Smith Jr., who continues to trend in the right direction. I think this is a promising game from Jabari, even though he went 0 of 2 from 3. And like, I would just, my kingdom for Jabari to start hitting some threes. It would change the entire fabric of the, like, the perception of him if he would just start shooting even league average from three. But the shot will come. 9 points, 15 rebounds, six of which were offensive, which means he had six offensive rebounds, nine defensive rebounds. Nice. Two assists, two blocks, both of which on Jonas Valanciunas, some big-time blocks on the big fella. Was 4 of 10 shooting from the floor. Already talked about missed his two threes, but that means he was 4 of 8 inside the arc, including, again, a couple really strong putbacks right in and around the rim in the land of the trees against the Pelicans' front court. You know, Valanciunas, Williamson, Larry Nance Jr. Jabari did a great job in this game, I thought, defensively. I thought he did as well as one could hope you would do against a Zion Williamson. I was taken aback that the Rockets opted to run Jabari as the primary on Zion and EG as the primary on Ingram, because I figured EG would have a little bit more strength to try and deal with Zion. And Zion, even though he's explosive, you know, plays a little bit more downhill, not really, you know, over the top, at least as far as like, you know, getting to a jumper or whatever, the way that Ingram plays, because Ingram's lanky and plays over the top and shoots over the top of defenders, all that stuff. And he's got the length to finish in and around the rim. I just thought Jabari kind of made more sense of the matchup for Ingram. Zion in this game wound up having 26 points, got to the free throw line 12 times. The Rockets had zero answer for Zion. Again, so I say they, you know, he defended Zion about as well as you could hope for. There were some moments where the Rockets defensively did a good job of sending like a second guy right when Zion touched the ball, especially like on the low block or when he started facing up Jabari, and they would send like, you know, Jalen would like, you know, cheat over and immediately force the ball out of Zion's hands. And there were other possessions where they tried to do the same thing, but like the help defense was not there quick enough. And so Zion just explodes into his move and it's game over. Like there's nothing you can do to stop that. So, and then for Ingram, he wound up having 20 points on 8 of 19 shooting. Not a super efficient night for Ingram. Didn't hit a single three, but it felt like Ingram kind of got his a little bit easier shooting and playing over the top of Eric Gordon than he would have playing against Jabari Smith Jr. So interesting defensive matchup decisions there. Elsewhere in this game, we did not see Gary Matthews. So no Garrison Matthews in this game, no Gary Bird. It feels like Gary Bird's probably going to be the odd man out. His minutes have been decreasing pretty steadily, and it feels like he is probably going to be now the odd man out of the Rockets rotation. Josh Christopher did get a little bit of run in this game, and this was after Stephen Silas was asked at Rockets practice, why is Josh Christopher not getting minutes? So maybe this will be a new adjustment where Josh Christopher is the guy who gets, you know, those super duper spot minutes as the 10th man on the roster in place of Garrison Matthews. We will see moving forward. And obviously we will see how things are impacted once Bruno Fernando and Jayshon Tate are both back in the rotation, because I still think Josh Christopher probably finds himself as the odd man out once that ultimately does happen. So we'll see how that plays out. Boban got 4 minutes in this game. I don't know if that was like a strategic thing because Silas was trying to match up with Valanciunas, or if that's like a, hey, Boban really wants to play and he just wants like a handful of minutes. So he's going to play him, you know, in the second quarter, whatever, into the first, whatever it was. I don't like Boban being in the game. It's, as much as I love Boban, he is such a defensive liability in drop coverage. It just feels, and it feels like the Rockets do not have the perimeter defenders to cover for that type of defensive scheme. So I'm not a huge fan of it. And the moments that he's been out on the floor, I'm just very like, it's like head scratching. Like what's going on here? Elsewhere in this game, look, the Rockets completely let go of the rope there in the fourth quarter due to the turnovers, due to a lot of sloppy play in the quarter. the Rockets managed to have, what was it, nine turnovers in the final quarter of basketball. Like, that's, you can't have nine turnovers in the fourth quarter and expect to be able to win the game. And again, they didn't get the ball to the one guy on their team who was insanely hot in this one. And they shot 1 of 10 from three in the game. So not a great overall fourth quarter. It was an encouraging performance to get back into the game. But again, they're a young team, and some of the decision-making down the stretch, both by Silas and the staff and by the players on the court, you know, led to this loss, unfortunately. At the end of the game, KPJ and Jose Alvarado got into it, right? Because Jose Alvarado was still pressing up and was still, like, very much in the game. And I think KPJ was, you know, just looking to dribble the clock out. And Alvarado had already picked KPJ's pocket once earlier in the game, so I'm sure he was, like, mentally kind of already there. Alvarado steals the ball, and then KPJ takes exception to it, and they both start jawing with each other and getting each other's face, and, you know, referees, you know, whistle dead ball. And 11 seconds left in the game. I thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was kind of cheap by Jose Alvarado. Like, the game's pretty much over, like, just, you know, let the clock run out kind of thing. But that's also Jose Alvarado's, like, entire mentality, right? Like, that's just his, that's just who he is as a player. He's that natural born irritant, just like a straight out of the Patrick Beverley school of basketball players, right? So, like, I respect the drive and the hustle to want to, like, keep things going until the very, very end. Even after the Pelicans went on, like, a ridiculous, what was it, 13-0 run to close things out? Yeah, straight up 13-0 run. Something to that effect. Yeah, 13-0 run to close things out. Just want to get the numbers right there. But at the same time, it's like, come on, man. Like, the game's over here. And I thought it was funny that the refs definitely did the double ejection. They were just like, all right, both of y'all get out of here. Look, there's 11 seconds left in the game. You don't want these guys to spend 11 more seconds on the court checking each other and have the situation escalate. So I did genuinely think the referees handled it about as well as you could have with 11 seconds left. Just, all right, both of you get the hell out, call it a game, and just, you know, they can rescind the technicals later. Cause in a normal situation, right, if this had happened in the first half, it would have been one technical for each guy play on. That would have been the situation, right? That's how these work. When you got one guy who, you know, does something, another guy takes exception to it, the first guy responds. Like, that's exactly what this altercation was like. It definitely didn't warrant ejections, but I kind of feel like that was the goal of the referee crew, was just, all right, get him out of here so we can close this game out. There's only 11 seconds left. We'll wrap it up, and then the NBA can revisit this and rescind the secondary technicals on both of them later on. That's what I'm sure is probably going to happen. I'm sure we'll hear about that sometime this week, that the technicals have been rescinded, but other than that, I thought it was a little weak from Alvarado, given the fact that the game was definitely over, but I also thought that it wasn't that big of a deal, seriously, at the end of the game. It's kind of like, all right, whatever. Like, this thing's over. Rockets completely let go of the rope. Maybe don't turn the ball over so much if you don't want to be taking L's from Jose Alvarado and turning the ball over in the final 15 seconds of the game. Maybe play a little bit better and actually hold on to the lead that you built up based on the really fantastic play from the bench guys in this game. So, I don't know. Those are kind of final thoughts in this one. Just, you know, elsewhere, I do think it's very telling that in a game that was tied with, you know, a handful of minutes left to go, Kevin Porter Jr. finished the game a minus 28. Like, the team did not look super great in the minutes that KPJ was on the floor, even though he had himself an individually good game. The ball movement, like, cratered compared to where it was the three games prior to this. Dacian Nix, by comparison, was a plus 13 in his 11 minutes played, because Dacian Nix played exclusively alongside Jaylen, exclusively in the minutes where Jaylen was playing without KPJ, and Jaylen was on fire in those minutes. So it's a small sample size. It's one game. It's 9 minutes and 15 seconds of Jaylen playing without KPJ this season, but it's something that I want to see more of, because I do think Jaylen has a different gear, a different level that he can tap into when he is the guy on the floor and everything has to flow through him offensively. There will be turnovers, right? He had 5 of them this game. There will be mistakes made, but he needs those mistakes to grow and to develop and to get better as a player. So with that, those are final thoughts from this game. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.